Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Wonderful. As Jeff has already given us a preview, our gospel reading this morning comes from the 6th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 17. He, being Jesus, came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. And then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when you speak well, when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God." Do you want it to be level or do you want it to look level? That was a question that my wife Peg and I would ask ourselves numerous times years ago when we were renovating an old house. You know, the way an old house settles sometimes creates these predicaments, because the vertical lines of the walls may be just enough out of plumb so that when you actually level the floor doesn't look level. And if you actually make the floor perpendicular to the tilting wall, the floor is not level. Subsequently, you have a predicament that you either choose one or the other, or you start making some real structural changes to the house. Well, today's story from Luke reminded me of those renovation days and those decisions when I read that Jesus stood on a level place. And I wondered, was it level or did it just look level? The sixth chapter of Luke, from which we read this morning, contains the abbreviated version of the teachings of Jesus that we're most familiar with from over in the Gospel of Matthew. And there in Matthew, they are very familiar to us, and we know them as the Beatitudes, which, by the way, are the prelude to that famous passage in Matthew that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we call it the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew because that's where Jesus is. The text literally says, Jesus went up on a mountainside, sat down, and began to teach. But our version that we read today in the Gospel of Luke is often called the Sermon on the Plain, or the level place, which is the more literal translation. So that begs the question, why the difference in these two stories? Now, a very obvious but incorrect answer would be, oh, it was two different times. Jesus had just had the same sermon. He would deliver it in different places. Well, I think first we need to understand that there is ample evidence within the text itself that tells us that these are two stories of the same material and the same event. However, the storytellers have different perspectives and objectives in the way they tell the story. Now, for time's sake, and in an oversimplified way, what we need to understand is that the purpose of Matthew's story is to establish Jesus as an authority within the mostly priestly traditions of the Jewish people. And so Matthew tells this story as a priestly archetype, kind of using Moses as an example and comparing Jesus to Moses, establishing Jesus in this priestly archetype of the Jewish tradition. And so it becomes Jesus' teachings as reinterpretation of the law of Moses. And where did the law of Moses come from? From up on the mountain. And Jesus teaches from the mountain. Now, the story, the same story as told by Luke, comes to us primarily through the interpretive lens of the prophetic tradition of the Jewish people. And it is more concerned not so much with obeying the law, but with justice and equity. Because this is the constant message of the prophets: justice and equity. And so Luke has Jesus telling and teaching from a level place, a place of equity. And these two perspectives of priestly and prophetic, I would suggest to us, are also the lenses or the world views through which Scripture as a whole is often interpreted, understood, and applied. The Bible seen as the law, which we must obey or else. Or the Bible seen as a mirror, which reflects our human inequities and injustices, pointing us to a better way of living. Is Jesus the Son of God, or even God, coming down to straighten out a wayward humanity? Or is Jesus the Son of Man, the quintessential human, showing us the way to love each other? These are real differences that come to us in different strands of Scripture. And what I hear right now, in a resounding silence, is it's both and. And of course it is. Of course it is. To a broad extent, it is both and. However, to say both and to just leave it that way is too easy. And we too often take the easy way out. It's like that current expression in today's discourse, when differences become obvious, we end up saying, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Expressions like this shut down conversation and keep us from reaching substantial places of mutuality and agreement. There is a reason that Jesus says in another place in the Scripture that He comes to fulfill the law and the prophets. Because Jesus' life and Jesus' teachings draw us into the tension that lies between a hardcore certitude that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Or a place of possibility that says, God says it, I trust it. Let's figure out a way to live it in our time and our place without killing each other. And this is where this reading from Luke comes in today, because this part of the sermon that we call the Beatitudes, this part of the sermon not only presents Jesus as speaking from a level place, but Luke has Jesus speaking on the level, as it were. Jesus proclaims woes or warnings to the sources of inhumanity, inequity, and injustice in the world. Not only does He bless the people who live in these injustices, He calls out the wealthy, the satiated, the scoffers, as well as they're flaunting and reveling in these things. And some of us may say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not fair to start blaming it all on these people. And this is where my opening story comes back in. Do we want it level? Or do we just want it to look level? You see, we of the privileged classes of the world see the world through words, intentions, and charity. We proclaim that all men, and I emphasize men, are created equal. We say life, liberty, and happiness for all. We tell our children anybody can be or do anything by pulling themselves up by their own boots. In a thousand words and ways, we create the illusion that our laws and our institutions and our religions create a level playing field. It looks level. Just listen to us. But it's not. Jesus pulls out a leveling stick and a plumb bob to our world, revealing the floors and walls that tilt toward the already privileged and thus powerful in the world. And this is why privileged people say that equity feels like oppression. Because true equity and justice, a truly level playing field, requires not charity or trickle-down economics, but a dismantling and rebuilding of systems and structures and laws according to the prophetic imagination of equality, justice, and love for all of humanity. It's like that old house. Unless you make real structural changes, those walls are always going to tilt and those floors are always going to be level. Now, ironically, tragically, instead, we seem to be headed in the opposite direction. As we revive laws that make it more difficult to vote, we whittle away at laws that protect racial minorities. We attack the dignity of choice to women. We refuse to acknowledge the diversity in human sexuality. And we make economic systems that benefit the top of an already top-heavy economy. And it just dawned on me recently, in a couple of stories I've been watching in the news, that much of this is done in the systems of recreation, entertainment, and sports. Professional sports are microcosms of a larger economic and racial inequality and injustice that permeates our world. The biggest things in sports these days are the baseball lockout. My goodness, what is that really about? It's about everybody at the top making all the money and the people down at the bottom not getting any of it. The NFL is being investigated because they're not hiring enough coaches of color when the predominance of players are people of color. They're being investigated for sexual harassment. And I just heard an article as I was driving to church this morning about betting in sports. My goodness. How inequitable can we be? Gambling is wide open in the sports world now, and you can sit at your computer. Anybody can sit at your computer and you can bet on just about anything during the course of the game. And if you haven't explored the world of gambling, please know that it's rigged for the house to always win. Just another way to siphon off the resources of most people into the hands of institutions and people who already have more than they can imagine. We live in a world that is unjust, unequal. We live in a world where Jesus comes in with his level and his plumb bob, and he asks us, do we want life to simply look level? Or do we really want it to be level? Amen. You know, in this story we heard this morning, Jesus doesn't just talk about equality and making things level. Jesus comes into the level place with the people. He even refers to himself as the Son of Man, which is a phrase that means the representation of all humanity. And I think that's probably our call from this sermon, is to realize that we are all human. And as human beings, we are called into places of equity and justice and love. It's not easy. It's going to take rebuilding, restructuring, reimagining institutions that are doing everything they can in every way they can imagine to keep things the same or even better for them. But that's our call. That's where Jesus calls us. To the level place, and not just something that looks level. Amen.